Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We could go on and on like that. Such a tremendous anointing. But there's some words the Lord wants me to share tonight, so. Hallelujah. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. ABC, woo! Time to celebrate, right? Always, hallelujah. Well, you think, there's no handout tonight. Okay, so what are we going to be doing? Well, actually, there is. And guess what we're doing tonight? Faith scenarios. Okay, so now, what was your instantaneous reaction when you heard that? Were you like, oh no, here she goes again. Not this again. Oh, really? Or were you like, oh, how exciting? Oh, more practical applications that I can work my way through, that I can see in real life situations what I would have done and what God wants me to do, and goody goody gumdrops. So which one were you? I hope the second one, because if you reacted the first way, then you really need to go through this tonight. Because faith, living by faith, walking by faith should be an exciting thing. We're talking about our God. He is a God of faith. He is faith. Yeah. And we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. We're supposed to walk with him and talk with him and speak his words and do all these wonderful things that he does. But it takes faith. Remember Hebrews 11:6. We cannot please God without faith. And we all want to please our Abba Daddy. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. We love him. We wouldn't be here on a Friday night. We might be someplace else where there are other spirits around on a Friday night. But no, we're here with the Spirit of the living God. And so, faith scenarios. This is where the rubber meets the road. Let's remember that the hardest thing about faith is that first step. And that first step usually involves some kind of risk, some kind of what if. But God doesn't want us to have a plan B. He doesn't want us to think what if. He wants us to say, God's on my side. God loves me. And I have victory in him, and in the name of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is too difficult for me. If we speak the word of God over ourselves, we build ourselves up, we pray in the Spirit on our most holy faith, building ourselves up to do what God created us to do, which is to walk by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We can hand out, it's now or never. And this particular handout has two scenarios on the same page, which is the first time we've done this. So when you get it, you might just fold it in half and look at it's now or never first, and we'll get to the other one in a little while. Okay? Praise God. Exciting. Walking by faith is exciting. Walking hand in hand with Jesus is exciting. All these people that think the Christian life is boring don't have a clue what it's really all about. Because life with Jesus is anything but boring. It's exciting, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's thrilling. It's something you look forward to each and every day. And it's wonderful to go to bed at night and to know that while you're sleeping, he never sleeps nor slumbers. And he's there watching over us, keeping us safe, just making sure that we're just enveloped in his presence. And that's a wonderful thing. So has everybody received their handout? Okay. So let's review again what we do with this. We read the little story, and then there are six options. And we want to answer with two answers. You can use a different color pen. You can use a different kind of marker, like a check mark or an asterisk. But we want two different answers. Now, sometimes they may be the same. In fact, ultimately, we would hope they would be the same. But they may not be just yet. And the first one is, what is the best answer? What is the faith answer? What is the answer that God would want you to do that would please him because of the faith that you are showing? That's the first one. Now, we may not be there yet. We're all on the path, walking closer to Jesus. And we're learning and we're growing as we go, but we're not all perfect yet. Maybe none of us is yet, but we're working on it, right? And so we need to be honest between God and us, each individually. That second answer is, okay, which of these answers applies to me today, right here, right now, that I can honestly say, this is what I would do today. And that's fine. And nobody needs to know that but you and God already knows it anyway. So it's just there to help us focus on the growth path, on what steps we need to take to walk in faith more and more. So let's take the time right now to read. Faith scenario, it's now or never. Okay, is there anybody else that needs a little more time on it's now or never? Okay, I guess we're all caught up. I was going to offer to pretend to be Elvis and sing It's Now or Never to serenade you while you were finishing it up, but you miss out on that. Aren't you glad? Okay, it's now or never. Jamie wanted to attend the week-long Believers Convention in Anaheim. However, since she was financially challenged, she thought that she had better get the Lord's direction on it before she made up her mind. So she prayed. Good thing to do. So she prayed, asking for his will in this situation. After a while, she believed that God had told her that he wanted her to attend. So she made up her mind to go. She prayed, asking God to provide all her needs for the convention, including transportation, registration fees, lodging, and meals. Every day she would thank God in the name of Jesus that he had met all her needs for the convention. However, by the day before the convention, no money had come in. As she was pondering on this in her heart, a close friend, Paula, dropped by to visit. As Paula started to leave, she said to Jamie, "Bye, I guess that I'll see you tomorrow at the convention." Choose Jamie's best answer from the list below. A, "I hope so, but God still has not yet brought in the money." Faith or no faith? No faith. No faith. So what is she doing here? What's the problem with this? She's doubting. She says, "I hope so." Is this hoping the Hebrews 11 hope?
No.
No. This is that Dusty Springfield song, "A Wishing and a Hoping." She's just a wishing and a hoping. Her faith isn't in that. It sounds from that answer like she never really believed that it was going to happen. I mean, she wanted to, but she went through the motions. She went through what she knew to do. But you know, a lot of times our faith is mental assent. It's really not heart faith, it's head faith. And the head faith will take us just so far. It's the heart faith that carries us through to victory every time. Okay, so not the best answer. Okay, let's look at B. I must have missed God because I don't have any money for the expenses. I see head shaking. Not a good answer. No faith. I mean, this is really no faith this time, huh? You know, it's like, well, I prayed and I prayed and I believe I heard from God and I believe God said to go. And so then she just kept acting on that, thanking God that he had provided everything for her. Now, it's not the convention yet. It's just the day before the convention, right? And so at this point, she's going, well, I think she's giving up. You think she's giving up? Yes. You think at this point she thinks, well, why bother? I don't have the money, so I must have missed God, so I guess I won't go. Wow. That could be a very, very sad thing, because if God said, yes, go, then he's got some good stuff for her there. She's going to be missing out because she's not with the program. And that's really sad. So she's led in doubt. She's led in unbelief. And how did she do it? With the words of her mouth. How often do we undo our prayers by the words of our mouth? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when the mouth is counteracting the faith statement, what should we do? Zip a lip. We should just better not say anything. Better to say nothing than to cancel the prayer, than to say things in doubt and unbelief. Because we want to do things God's way, and if we pray, and if we believe that we have heard and God said yes, then we need to hang on to that yes. It's not the morning of the convention yet. She doesn't know. Somebody might knock on her door at midnight and say, hey, I was just led by the Lord to bring this to you. She needs to believe that God's going to take care of it in time. I think we all probably know the story of TBN and their very earliest days when they had this very simple set and just they'd put their lives and their finances on the line and they're out there and they have to have so much money paid in to secure this station by 3 o'clock this one afternoon. And it's now 2:30 and they're $35,000 short. Now, if they'd been like Jamie, they'd have looked at that and said, oh, well, I guess God didn't want us to have this television station. I guess he didn't want us to be able to minister to hundreds and thousands and millions of people and lead them to Jesus. Oh, well, guess we should just give up. I think it was about 2:45. This man walks in holding an envelope. And he said, the Lord told me to bring this to you. And he handed it to Paul Crouch. And Paul kind of ripped it open and looked at it, took one quick look. It's a check for $35,000. And he's out the door and he's racing for the bank. And just as he arrives there, the man's about to put the key in the lock and lock up the bank. And he's going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're not done yet. I have to come in right now. And he got in. Well, you know what? In our estimation, God's running a little late. He's running a little late to keep us comfortable. Yeah. That's the issue. We want to have everything just so. And we want to have this cushion of comfort that we know we're going to be okay. But what are we trusting in when we do that? We're trusting in our cushion of comfort. We're not trusting in God. We're manipulating the situation to where we want to have something to lean back on. Oh my, isn't that sort of like a plan B? Uh-oh, not good. With God, there is no plan B. There is no second choice. There's straight ahead. You find out what God wants. You pray, you ask him, you hear from him, and then you grab hold of it like a bulldog on a bone, and you just keep running with it. That's what we do. That's what faith is. Okay, so that's A and B. Let's take a look at C. Jamie answers, yes, I will see you tomorrow. Woohoo! I hear excitement. I hear, yes, this is the faith answer. She hasn't given up. She still believes God. And she's going to keep it to herself, what she's lacking. Because God, actually, I'm not lacking it, God. I may not see it yet, but I know it's here. And what about John G. Lake? Having sold his very prosperous business in Chicago and took his wife and his seven children on a ship to Africa because God told him to. He knew he had heard from God. And up until the day before, he didn't have the money. And then suddenly the money came in for the passage. So great, he gets the tickets, they go on board, and they go across the Atlantic, and they get to Africa, and now he discovers there's a disembarkation fee. You gotta pay to leave. You gotta pay to get off. And the amount of money he'd been given was just enough, and he was very grateful that they included the food on the ship. Because he wouldn't have had money for that with what was given him. But see, God knew that. And God gave him just exactly what he needed to get him to this point. So now, you'd think he'd say, oh, I'm supposed to be 1,000 miles inland. God, how come you didn't give me enough money to pay this fee and to buy the train tickets and to go where I need to go? I mean, God, you shortchanged me. Would God do that? No. No. So he has to believe that, guess my faith needs a little more exercise. My faith muscle, God gave everybody the same measure of faith, and you just got to keep exercising that faith muscle. We don't want it going to sleep. We don't want it falling down on the job. We're looking to God. We're putting blinders on and looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's all about Jesus. It's about us following Jesus. And we know the goal. So we stick with the program. And we just keep forging ahead. So when Jamie said, yes, I will see you tomorrow, she's saying, God, I know the answer's there. I've already prayed it. I've already believed it. And I'm by faith, I have received it. And I'm going to that convention tomorrow, and I know that all my needs will be met. Everything. Not worried about it, Lord. Packing tonight, going to sleep, sleeping a good night's sleep, not sitting up worried and what if and, oh, where's it going to come from and, you know, the committee. Yanni, 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 all the questions, all the wonderments, all the ifs. Ands and buts, they're all there. So let's just put that committee to bed, or just cancel them, send them home, don't need them. Okay, so what if we did D? Pray with me that God will bring in the money today. Didn't she already pray?
Yes.
She prayed way back at the beginning, Lord, do you want me to go? So how does this relate to the prayer of faith? Anybody? Ask God. There it is. We ask God once. She had asked God once already, earlier on. So if she is going back to pray again now, what is she doing? She's canceling her prayer. She's in doubt and unbelief. She's trying to manipulate the situation. And, you know, her asking her friend to pray with her regarding this, what is she doing? She's communicating to her friend, I want to go, but I don't have enough money yet. In fact, I don't have any money yet. But this sounds like a very holy Christian way of doing it. Oh, please come pray with me that I'll have enough money, that the money will come in. Sounds good, huh? You know, it's turning to prayer. But it's the wrong time because she's already prayed. And with the prayer of faith, we pray one time. And if you go back and pray again, you're canceling the first prayer. And you're showing that you did not really believe in the first time when you prayed that that would come to pass. Okay, so got to be wary of answers like this because I see it as a hint, hint. Manipulation, and you know what that ends up being? Witchcraft. Because it's trying to control somebody else and what they're going to do by you're planting little thoughts in their mind. Oh, don't you want to be a really good friend and help me out here? Okay, so that's definitely not God's way. God has the way that he's going to provide for Jamie, and that's not it. Okay, so let's go to E. I believe that God wants me to go. Will you lend me the money? Well, she's not hinting here, is she? She's flat out. Okay, fork it over. Come on. You got enough money for you to go and for me to go. So let's take care of this so I can be ready to go. Sounds like an Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we know that one's not it. Okay, F. Yes, I believe that God will bring the money by tomorrow morning. Okay. How is F different from C, and which of the two is better, and which is less better, and why? Okay, I'm hearing C is better. Okay, on timing. Okay, other thoughts? Yeah, yeah, very good. What is she doing? She's still letting her friend know she doesn't have the money yet. You know, when we stand in faith, it's between God and us. Now, if you're married, you and your spouse will be praying together and your spouse will know what's going on. But in this type of situation, it's best to say nothing. Because anything that you're going to say other than, yes, I'll see you tomorrow, is telling your friend that you haven't had the answer to your prayer yet. And you're really not sure if it's going to come or not. And it's really coming up to the timeline. And you're getting really nervous. And you're really thinking you want some help. And so any of these three ways of D, E, and F are all a hint, hint, manipulation, and witchcraft. All three of them are really doing that. Yes. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Right. I told you to pick where you're at. Which one would you pick for you today? So there's one best faith answer, but all of us aren't necessarily strong enough in our faith yet to where we would do that. And that's a learning process, and that's okay. Bible says every time we fall, the Lord picks us up. And sometimes we know from the poem Footsteps that sometimes He carries us. And the footsteps we see are just His with us, carrying us in His arms. So, yeah, sometimes those two answers will be the same. And if so, hallelujah, that's great. But if you're not there yet, God knows. Just be honest with yourself and say, okay, what can I do to change? What can I do to grow? How can I learn more about walking in faith? That's what all these scenarios are meant to do. It's to get you thinking, how would I react in this situation? Picture yourself each time you read this story. Put yourself in their shoes. Think through the process. What if that were I? What would I think? What would I say? What would I do? Would I be so free as to say nothing? To try to get money from somebody because I haven't seen it in front of me yet and I'm starting to reach out and see if I can pull it in? See, we've all probably been there at some time or another. And it's part of the process. I keep saying it's part of the process. It's a step by step by step. We don't just take one giant step and we get from no faith to all faith. It doesn't work that way. You've got to just do it a little at a time, little at a time. Okay, so yes, I will see you tomorrow. Praise God. Okay, now you can either open your page or flip over to the other half. This one is called The Pen. In other words, the word is mightier than the sword, or the scalpel in this case. Okay, so read and mark your two answers, the best faith answer and the one where you think this is what I would have done. And as usual, look up at me so I know. Because a mind reader, I am not. Is there anyone else that needs a few more minutes? Wave your hand at me if you do. Okay, I guess we're all ready then. Okay, faith scenario number two. The pen, the word, is mightier than the sword or the scalpel. After a recent annual checkup, Peter's doctor is worried about cancer and schedules him for a follow-up with an oncologist. However, Peter knows 1 Peter 2:24, and so he's not worried. A few weeks later, after meeting with Peter, the oncologist gravely declares that his doctor was right and that, quote, Peter has cancer in an advanced stage, end quote. The oncologist indicated that he had sent a biopsy out for testing, but was convinced that the results would confirm his findings. Peter is a man of faith, and he's still not worried. However, later that week at his church, he asked for a prayer of agreement that the results of the biopsy will confirm that he does not have cancer. Nevertheless, a few days later, when he gets the results of the biopsy, the doctor declares solemnly, quote, the biopsy has confirmed that you have cancer, end quote. Later that evening at church, a longtime close friend collars him and urgently demands, is it true what I have heard, that you have cancer? Choose from below what you think is the best answer for Peter. A. I can't tell a lie. I do have cancer. I see heads shaking side to side all around. Oh, and thumbs pointing down big time. Bad choice. He sounds a little bit like George Washington. I cannot tell a lie. However, he goes on to say, I do have cancer. So what is happening here? Okay. Number one, he has what he says, right? Mark 11:23. Jesus himself said, you have what you say. And the word say appears three times where the word pray is once in that same verse. So God's saying, pray once, and then you keep saying and affirming what you have that lines up with my word. Does the statement, I have cancer, line up with the word of God? No, there's no place you can find anywhere in the Bible that said, God gives us cancer or he wants us to have cancer. No, absolutely not. That is a bad choice. And the words of our mouth will trap us. You know what else is wrong with this? Again, another scripture. Where two or three are agreed as touching anything, it shall be done for them. This is a promise of the word of God, where two agree. Okay, so now the doctor said, you have cancer. He said to Peter, you have cancer. Now Peter's saying, I have cancer. I do have cancer. So now he's agreed with the doctor, even though he prayed the biopsy would be different. And instead of holding firm to what the word of God says, that he's been healed by the stripes of Jesus, he's just going along with, I'm not going to lie. So what's another scripture that comes into play here with the I'm not going to lie? Romans 4:17. Call those things that be not as though they are. Okay, so what's he doing? He's saying, well, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you the fact of the natural situation. But if he says what the word of God says about it, is he lying? No. What's he doing? He's calling those things that be not as though they are. And if he's persistent enough, he does it until the things that are not become what are. That's what affirmations do. That's the word of God. The pen, the word, is mightier. The word of God is mighty and powerful to the breaking down of strongholds. Tearing down strongholds, strongholds of the enemy, strongholds that the enemy's put on our body. Are there symptoms? Is there some confirmation in the natural? Who cares? Isaiah 53 says, whose report will you believe? And Pastor Joshua makes it very clear that he doesn't care what the doctors say. He really doesn't listen to what the doctors say. They're doing the best they know how, and they don't understand that they're speaking a lot of curses against people all the time. That's the nature of the ministry. But we want to believe what God has to say, right? We believe what the word of God has to say. And this is where the word of God is like a battering ram. Here's the challenge that Peter's facing. Here's this report of cancer that the doctor has said and the lab report has, quote unquote, verified. So there it is. It's staring him in the face. And what should he do? He should break it down with the word of God. Affirmations, affirm this thing constantly. Titus 3:8 says, just hit it and hit it and hit it and hit it. And the more you hit it with the word of God, which is above all, it's going to weaken and tear down the ways of the enemy. Okay. So let's look at choice B. So again, the question was, is it true what I've heard that you have cancer? In B, Peter says, yes, the doctor says I have cancer. Now, is this statement good? Is it bad? Is it a little of both? What's going on with B? Speak up. The doctor says, okay. So we're saying that part's good, right?
Yes.
Because. So we're saying that the doctor says I have cancer is good because back to where two are in agreement. So if the doctor says, but you don't agree with him because the word of God says, then when you quote the doctor. You're not saying I have cancer. You're saying the doctor says I have cancer. But what's wrong with B? He said yes. And what was the question again? Is it true that you have cancer? And he says, yes. Oops. At that point, he might as well forget about reporting that the doctor says he has cancer because he's already said that in one little three-letter word. Yes. 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 Yes, we have no bananas. No, we have yes bananas here. That's very good, honey. He said yes and quoted the doctor. He could have said no and quoted God. Right? Mm-hmm. The choices that we make. Okay. So let's look at C. Again, is it true what I have heard that you have cancer? Yes, the biopsy confirms that I have cancer. No good. No go. Again, he's agreeing with what the doctor says, agreeing with what the biopsy says. And this is all natural stuff. And you know, the problem with the doctor, according to what they say, is they're still practicing. The problem with the biopsy is that many tests are tainted or mixed up or lost, or you get somebody else's results. All kinds of possibilities in the natural, none of which Peter wants. Not one of those would be his choice. So saying yes to answer the question, you see, this is where faith comes in, because you look at the natural situation and the symptoms are there that they say, the doctors and the medical staff say that Peter has cancer. They say. Okay? We go back to Isaiah 53. Whose report is he going to believe? Now, James talks about a double-minded man. If he wants to believe God's word, but then somebody says, oh, but yeah, but doesn't the biopsy prove that you have cancer? Oh, well, you know, then he's going to be swayed. He's double-minded. He's not sure. He wants to believe, back to the wishing and the hoping. Because I think a lot of Christians, when they operate, trying to operate in faith, they do a lot of wishing and hoping. They don't understand just how fixed and focused you have to be to walk by faith. Seeing the Word of God, living by the word of God, not saying things that are unnecessary. You know, probably all of us at one time or another have talked too much. And we've said the wrong things. at the wrong times. Sometimes the wrong things at the right times to be wrong. Words are very precious if we saw them as gold commodities. We should treat them with respect and choose them more carefully and think about what we're going to say before we say it. You know, the Word of God says that we should be slow to speak, right? And I always think about, I have two ears and one mouth. So I should listen and hear at least twice as much as I do to speak, right? So when somebody asks a question like this, here Peter is, he's standing in faith. He thinks he wants the healing. He wants to give God the credit. He wants to believe God. But this friend is just, I mean, this is a friend from church. Supposed to be believing the same thing as he does. Supposed to be trusting in the same word of God that he is. And what does this friend ask? Is it true that you have cancer? No Christian should ask another Christian that question to start with. Amen. I mean, we're starting with a very negative premise here. And it's putting Peter between a rock and a hard place. He wants to respect his friend. He wants to let his friend know what's going on. But, you know, a lot of times people don't have their answers all ready to go. They're moved by the spur of the moment. Oh, I hadn't thought of that question. Oh, what do I do? Well, I have cancer, the person might say. Not what they want to say, and they hadn't thought it through. And so whenever you're in a physical challenge or any kind of challenge, but healing is a good example because we've been through this in healing school. You have to understand that if you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, if you're believing for the spiritual truth to overwhelm the physical symptoms in your body, then you need to watch your mouth. And in order to do that, you've got to anticipate that people are going to want to talk to you about it. Some people that are Christians and some people that are not, that would not begin to understand you're believing the word of God. So you got to have your answers ready to go. You've got to know exactly what you're going to say. Practice it. Think through the questions. Talk to somebody you trust, like your pastor or another mentor that you can work with, and say, okay, I'm being challenged here. I'm believing the word of God, but I need to be able to know how to face the public and work through what your answers are going to be. Right? Okay. So, see, who cares what the biopsy says? It really doesn't confirm a thing. It certainly doesn't confirm the word of God. And again, that could be somebody else's biopsy. A mistake could have been made. There are many, many, many mistakes that are made in the medical field. Statistics are really, really high for people that die in a hospital from a disease that they did not go in the hospital with, that they contracted in the hospital. And then the others, by the droves, that die in a hospital or by mistakes that were made. Oh, I'm sorry, we cut off the left leg and not the right. Oh, I'm sorry, you weren't the right person for us to do that with at all. Oh, you know what this x-ray shows? I think we left the knife inside you. You know, all these things have happened? Pastor Joshua says the first two with his mother. He knows intimately, firsthand, some of these things that happen, and we've seen it happen over and over and over again. So when you know someone that's being challenged to go in the hospital, pray against them getting any hospital-borne diseases, pray against any mistakes of any kind, medication mistakes, surgery mistakes, diagnosis mistakes, any and all kinds of mistakes. You know, if you look at it this way, it really almost takes more faith to go in the hospital than it does to trust God. It's interesting. Either way, it takes faith. And depending on where you're at, you need to decide which one takes more faith for you. Okay, so let's move on to D. No, I do not have cancer. Liar, liar, pants on fire. He's not trying to lie, but he wants to be able to say what God says about him. But, you know, that scripture in Romans 4:17 says, call those things that be not as though they are. It does not say call those things that be as though they are not. So here, by saying, I do not have cancer, he's denying the whole thing. He's doing the opposite of what the Word of God says to do. And when you mess with the Word of God, God can't back you up. So these are dangerous words for him. He's saying, no, it's not true. I do not have cancer. And that is not a good answer. He thinks it's being honest in God's sight, but it's not. Okay, any questions on that one? No? Okay. Okay, let's take a look at E. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I see heads nodding. I hear right on. Yes, E is the most faith filled answer. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, because what is Peter doing here? He is quoting the Word of God. He is setting himself in agreement with the Word of God. He is calling those things that be not as though they were. Those things that be not, what? The healing? Because his body is being physically challenged. But, remember what we said about the Word of God. The Word of God is our truth. This is our guideline. This is the book that we live by. This is what we are, who we are, what we do, what we say is out of the Word of God. And so here, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus is a wonderful testimony. And doing it to his friend at church, the friend has heard this verse before, I'm sure. And so he understands what he's saying. Now, maybe that would not be the best answer to someone, a friend who is not a Christian. But then again, you're speaking the Word of God. You know, person might go, huh? Said, yes. My Jesus has paid the price for my healing. What a wonderful witness, huh? They don't know Jesus, and they're like, what do you mean you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus? What are you talking about? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Gives you a wonderful opportunity to open up what Jesus has done for us. Do you believe that? Would you like to receive Jesus? Yes? Wonderful. Praise God. So, hallelujah. So, E is the most faith-filled answer. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay, now let's take a look at F. Again, let me ask the question. Is it true what I have heard that you have cancer? And his answer is, yes, but I believe that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Okay, what have we said about putting your butt in the right place? Is the butt in the right place here? Actually, it is, because you're doing the negative first. He's admitting, yes, to I have cancer, right? And then he goes, yes, but, and then he's saying the word of God, following it. So the concept of what he's doing here with his butt in the right place is a positive thing. Remember we said how many of these choices might be kind of borderline, might have some good elements to them, but some not so good? So his good element here is the butt in the right place. However, where he missed it was answering the question was, well, yeah, I do have cancer. So again, that's part of the agreement that is so powerful that kind of undid his prayer of faith. So trying to figure that out, it's like you want to keep it short and you want to keep it simple and you want to know what you're going to say and even possibly better answer to E might have been, well, you know, the doctor says that I have cancer, but I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, or I believe that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So that way you're covering all ground to answer the question about the cancer. Well, the doctor says so, but I don't say so. I say what the Word of God says about me, and the Word of God says I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, that Jesus took those stripes upon his back, and he shed his blood over every one of those 39 categories of sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. And every sickness and disease, infirmity, and pain has already been paid for by Jesus. The ones that the medical profession know about now and the ones they don't yet know about. I mean, it's been, what, just since this year that I've ever heard of Zika virus. I think they just created that. I don't know. But, yes. Saying that which one?
The very last one.
F or the one I just quoted that's not written down there?
No, the F.
No, F is not acceptable because he's admitting to having cancer. So that's the agreement that cancels what he says afterwards. The butt is in the right place trying to put the Word of God to where it's more focused, but he already messed up with the first word. But the one that I don't have written here that you could write in for yourselves for future reference is, remember, the doctor says that I have cancer. And this is so key when you're talking about any situation for yourself, family, friends, where someone's being challenged. Remember to say, the doctor says, the doctor says, but God says, but Jesus says. That's getting your but in the right place. That's saying, this is the natural situation. This is what man is saying, but I'm not listening to man. This is what God says, and I'm not only listening to what God says, but I'm speaking it, and I'm repeating it over and over again. I'm slapping that devil in the face until he just says, oh, you're no fun anymore. I'm going to remove my symptoms from you and go off and try somebody else. That's what happens sometimes. You know, the devil just, he doesn't like the Word of God. He cringes at the Word of God. And when you keep pressing in the Word of God and you stand true, guess what? The devil has to give up. And my husband has something he would like to add here.
Why would you think so?
Because he just got a microphone.
You're finished, correct?
I believe so.
Good. I thought so. that's so good, I just had to jump in here. She's done this many times before, and this is the first time I'm jumping in, but this is really good, okay? There's some stuff here we really need to get. What she's done is take the answers apart to show you the good and the bad. But in doing that, she ran a risk, and I want to make sure the risk doesn't hit you, okay? The risk she runs in doing that is it comes across, in fact, one person asked the question, isn't there only one right answer? And the answer is yes, there's only one right answer. Of the ones presented, there is only one right answer. The risk is the following. In James 4, verse 8, It says, draw closer to God, and he draw closer to you. So the process of getting closer to God is always one step at a time. One step at a time. And so we're not expected to do everything perfectly at one time. And so if you're growing into this, the process of learning how to phrase your answers, the process of what is the correct answer, all these things are things you learn by practice and by doing and by overcoming challenges. Step by step, you're getting closer to God. That makes sense? But that's not true of faith itself. Faith is binary. Faith is like a computer counting on two fingers. It's either faith or no faith. Faith is binary. We're not talking about spiritual warfare where you may do the same thing over and over to pound the devil. Like affirmation is a form of spiritual warfare. So it's praying in tongues. There are many things in spiritual warfare where you repeat what you're doing. Faith is not spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare requires faith. But spiritual warfare is, you know, if you have a gun and your gun has one bullet and you're crack shot and a whole bunch of the enemy charges you in your circle wagon, if one enemy charges you and you shoot that enemy, you're okay. One bullet, one enemy, one shot, it's all over. But if 10 charge you and you shoot the first one, you got a problem. That's spiritual warfare. You have to do the same thing over and over until you get rid of all the demons, overcome all the challenges, and you win. That's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is what you do between the amen of the prayer, and there is the answer. That's spiritual warfare. The Bible calls it standing in faith. Standing in faith is spiritual warfare. And you may do the same thing over and over. But that's not faith. Spiritual warfare requires faith, but it's not faith. Faith is binary. Either you got faith or you don't. And in particular, with the petition prayer here, the thing to understand is when you pray and you believe you received, there's nothing besides believe you receive. Is that believe you receive 10% today and 10% tomorrow and 10% the next day? No, you've received or you haven't received. Either you believe God has answered your prayer and kept his word, or you don't. If you believe he's answered the prayer when you prayed, as he said he would, then it's done. It's done spiritually. Everything else is just waiting for the manifestation. But it's done. So look at some of these answers here. Part C. Yes, the biopsy confirms that I have cancer. What is this dude doing? Or maybe dudette. This dudette is switching from walking by faith to walking by sight. What's the biopsy? Sight. What's faith? The word of God says you pray, you believe, you receive. It is done. Binary. To go from zero, the only place you can go is a one when there's binary. It's either zero or one. The light is on or off. Right? So this person switches from faith to walking by sight. The biopsy says I have cancer. What Sarah is trying to teach here, along with just simple faith scenarios, is Christianese. Learning how to talk as a son of God. It doesn't come naturally. You got to think about it, understand the power of your words, and choose your words carefully. So the best answer here would be, the doctor says I have cancer. That's a truthful report of what the doctor says. The doctor says I have cancer, but I believe I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's the best answer, which is not on the list. Of the ones on the list, the best answer is simply, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Had somebody just told me this report yesterday. Went to the doctor to have a procedure done. That procedure was based on the other doctor doing some doctor stuff to get rid of a major challenge. So the doctor did his part and said, that worked pretty good. What have you been doing since the last time I saw you when it didn't work? Thinking she's going to say, I went to the doctor and he put me on chemotherapy and did all this stuff, or he performed surgery. She said, I've been believing the word of God. No, that's the kind of answer you want to give. I've been believing the word of God. And the problem was gone. The problem that was there is gone. And she's telling her doctor, I believe, I've been believing the word of God. That's faith. So when a Christian says to another Christian, as Sarah mentioned, is it true that you have cancer? To say that to somebody who does not know Christian is, who cannot speak the walk and talk the talk, is like saying to somebody, is it true you've quit beating your mother? It's a terrible question. You follow me? Is it true you quit beating your mother? Is it true you have cancer? You're asking a Christian, you want him to contradict the word of God, which says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, that Jesus took all sicknesses on the cross, and you want to ask him if he is denying the fact that Jesus took his sickness on the cross? It's a terrible question. None of us would ever ask anybody, is it true you quit beating your mother? Or your wife? Or to the wife, have you quit beating your husband? Right? Amen? I'm only half famous. You want to know how I know I'm only half famous? My wife started to quote my quotation, only gave half of the quotation. She says, Pastor Joshua says, I pay no attention to what doctor says. She's quoting me, I'm half famous. But she leaves out the other half of the quotation. One day I'll get the end, she'll quote the whole thing. I pay no attention to what doctor says. I pay attention to what the patient says. Right? Life and death is in the mouth of the patients, not the doctors. I pay no attention to what doctor says. When my mother was in the hospital, several times God had me do things, told me in my spirit, go do this. One evening, for example, I'm there for a few hours and I go home. And he said, nope, stay here. So I stayed for another hour. And this person came in and started to put a tag on her, identifying her for surgery early next morning. Well, she wasn't scheduled for any surgery, had the wrong patient. Okay? I caught them trying to give her the wrong medication. And I had them tagging her wrong leg for something they were going to do. 3 times in one hospital. And those were not the worst mistakes. You want to hear the worst mistakes? One person wants to hear it. You want to see me afterward and I'll tell you? Okay, two people on here. Okay. This is a really long story. I'm trying to find a short ending to the story. At one point, my mother had a stroke and was taken to a hospital. Now, at that time, I knew very little bit about the Word of God and certainly very little about living to the life that God wants you to live. So my mother was like 83 or 82, and I was a wee young kid of whatever, and I thought, boy, that's ancient. So when she had a stroke, I thought, well, the Bible says she has 70 or 80 years. She's lived her life. That's it. So what am I going to do? So I didn't pray for her healing. I prayed in tongues for about an hour driving to the hospital, trying to seek God's will, how to pray. And God spoke to me and told me 7 things that would happen. He said, the hospital she went into, she'd be transferred. The second hospital would find that the first hospital made a mistake. Then the second hospital, she'd get better and be ready to be released, and then the second hospital would make a mistake. There's 7 items. I'm missing a couple here, okay? They all came to pass, and finally, one night, he said, Lord said, I want you to spend all night in the hospital. I'd worked all day. He said, spend all night. I'm sitting there all night. And you're not supposed to. But nobody said a word to me. So I'm sitting there quietly in my chair praying, and around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, some alarms went off on my mother, and boy, all excitement broke loose. People came rushing in, a whole bunch of people came rushing in, and I'm watching them, like half a dozen or more people running around doing various things. Finally, this doctor comes over and says, we have to perform immediate heart surgery on your mother. And I said, nope. So he didn't quite hear me. He said, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're going to do. I said, no, you didn't hear me. I said, no. He said, if we don't perform surgery right away, she could die in a moment. I said, no, there will be no surgery. Okay? So he muttered, went away. The head nurse came back. Said, you gotta have surgery. Nope. And she went away, and some administrator came back with a whole bunch of paper that had to sign. There was no surgery. Next morning, we got a friend of a friend who was a heart specialist, cardiologist, and he came over and went over all the records. And he found where the machine misfunctioned, and they were prescribing, diagnosing, whatever it is, heart surgery based on a computer malfunction that he founded the next day. Okay? So let me tell you, you want to trust the voice of God, not the hospitals. Half a million people die a year in hospitals unnecessarily. We need to learn faith. And faith is binary. You either got it or you don't. What's in your mind, you want to call it mind faith? It's not. It's mental assent, mental agreement. Faith is in your heart, and when you have it in your heart, it's done. Nothing is going to change your mind. Like, what is going to change your mind that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord? Somebody comes up and says, you turn your back on Jesus, I'll kill you. Do you have to think twice about what you're going to do? And the answer is no. You have the faith to believe that Jesus is your Savior and the Son of God, and that's faith. It's binary, 0-1. That's it. That's the same way you need to be on the Word of God in every single area of your life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Thank you, honey, for letting me interrupt you.
Well, that was wonderful. I love when we team teach. It's really quite awesome, especially when it's spontaneous like that. And I just have a message for those who are live streaming. There was another handout that was on the back of the one you got, which we will not be getting to tonight. So save that for a future time, okay? Okay, so you want to take over then?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.